Good morning. It is a sort of a wet Thursday, March 10th here in Sandpoint, Idaho, and you have tuned in to the KRFY morning show. I'm your host, Jack, and my special guest host across the desk from me this morning is Carrie Logan, and it is a great pleasure to welcome her to the program.
Thank you, Jack. Yes. I'm really pleased to be here.
Good morning. Let me start things off with a little rundown of the weather before we get into conversation about the Chafe 150, which is not coming up this weekend, not next weekend, not next month, but it is just around the corner. It'll be here before you know it. So we will be talking about that. But first, the weather. We have a moderate drizzle out there on the roads. Coming in on my bike today, I thought it was maybe a little bit more than moderate, but that could have been a subjective opinion. 37 degrees and drizzly today. There's a flood warning in effect today until 9:30 a.m. So I guess keep your eyes peeled and keep your shoes dry. Rain and patchy fog today, then showers likely into the afternoon and evening. Chance of showers and patchy fog all night long tonight. The low tonight down to just freezing, 32 degrees, and highs near 47 and 48 kind of all weekend. Looking like more of this as far as the forecast goes till Sunday night. Highs up near 50, rainy. Lows at night down into the mid and low 30s. So.
And 7 inches of new snow at Schweitzer.
That's what I heard. I thought I heard you mention that. That's so it's good news depending on what elevation you're at.
Right.
And what you're into.
But if you're going to go skiing, don't go until after you finish listening to the show and then you can go up.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, that's important. Actually, you can leave, you can leave for Schweitzer at about 8:40 and catch it all the way up, and we'll be done at 9. It's time to say good morning to Ilana and Mel. Ilana Westfall is the PR chair of the Chafe 150, and Mel Dick is the sponsorship chair. And
good morning.
Yeah, thank you guys both for being here.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, and we are coming up on the 9th annual Chafe 150, which, if people don't know, is a bike ride, is a 150-mile bike ride. Is that correct?
It is. It's 150 miles, but it's also an 80-mile bike ride, and there is a 30-mile route as well. So it's any distance. Anyone can ride it.
I think a lot of people do know what the Chafe 150 is, but if there's someone new out there who has never even heard of it, What's the pitch? What's the idea?
The idea is the Sandpoint Rotary took over a ride that was started by the Panhandle Alliance for Education 8 years ago. And we're raising money for children on the autism spectrum in the Lake Pendere School District. 100% of the proceeds of the ride stay right here in town, making a big difference for children in the special education department in our schools. The ride is a daunting 150 miles, but starts and ends in City Beach. It's a beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful route. And then the 80-mile route takes off from Troy, Montana. And then later in the day, the 30-mile route takes off from City Beach as well. And everyone ends up back in City Beach at the end of the day. And we have a wonderful after-ride party at Trinity right there on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chafe actually stands for Cycle Hard for Education, which was part of the mission for the Panhandle Alliance for Education when they started the ride 8 years ago. And the Sandpoint Rotary has continued the tradition of supporting the education at the Lake Pendere School District.
I hadn't heard that acronym before. Cycle Hard for Education. I thought maybe it was just maybe it didn't stand for anything at all. But that's,
well, anyone who if you do ride 150 miles, you'll know what chafing means.
It's rather a double entendre.
It is. Right.
Yes. Clever. Very clever.
Is this a is this a race or is this just a ride or what is it?
It's a ride. We call it the Gran Fondo, and Gran Fondo is a term for rides such as this. It that started in Italy back in the 1970s. Gran Fondo means, in some terms, it's a race, and you are timed. Every rider has a chip timing device because they're trying to see how fast they can go. In our case, well, you do get a chip, and you are timed. We do not describe it as a race because we want people to have fun. So a Gran Fondo is a big ride. It involves lots of rest stops, people of all levels of capability in riding, great prizes for the riders, and then a big party after the ride. And in our case, that party is down at City Beach, at the Best Western and Trinity at City Beach. And everyone has a great time with a beer and wine garden, food. It's really open to the community as well. And we do want to emphasize it's not just the riders. It is for the whole community. And the way the community supports this ride is just phenomenal. We have lots of sponsors.
Mm-hmm. The race starts and ends at City Beach. What's the route look like?
The 150-mile route starts and ends at City Beach. It goes up to Bonner's Ferry. It then heads over east to western Montana through Troy, Montana. It then comes down the Bull River Valley, so which is just an absolutely gorgeous section of the ride, turns back west, heads through Clark Fork, and then rides along the eastern shore of Lake Pend'Oreille back into Sandpoint at City Beach. The 80-mile route starts, you actually start out at City Beach with a breakfast. You're then bused along with your bikes over to Troy, Montana, and you ride the second half of that route through Clark Fork and back to Sandpoint. The 30-mile route starts at City Beach, goes out into the Selly Valley, turns around at the Pack River Store and the Pack River there, and then comes back to City Beach. And as Alana mentioned before, the rides are all timed so that they finish about the same time, so all the riders are at the big party at the finish line.
Yeah.
So what kind of logistics are involved in setting up a race? Let's take the 150-mile course to go up 95, over two, down the Bull River, back over two. You know, and I guess it's not two, whatever it is up in Troy. But what logistics? What do you have to do?
Well, there's an awful lot of logistics. There are six different community organizations involved, over 50 volunteers. It takes us roughly 9 months to plan the ride. And then the day of the ride, you do registration the day before. Breakfast starts at 5:30 in the morning for the 150-mile ride. And then there's the party at the end of the day. So it's a large effort. Rotary has, I think we have about 75 or 80 members now.
And right.
Almost every member of Rotary is involved. Hmm. And then there's these other five different community organizations. So there's six different rest stops. There's lunch provided in Troy, breakfast in Sandpoint, and then, if you will, a dinner in Sandpoint again. So a major effort. You have to sign the routes. We have professional bike mechanics all along the route at the start and throughout the route. Bonner General provides nursing, and so we have medical support at the beginning of the route, and at the end of the route. You have somebody that's picking up riders in case someone has a problem with their bike or in case someone has an issue with not being able to ride the entire route, that type of thing. So it's a major effort. About 350 riders have been participating the last several years.
And then law enforcement helps get people through perhaps congested areas like in town. I know city police helps with that. And
right. And we have a nice escort out of town. It's really terrific.
And then what, get permits from ITD and all that kind of thing?
We have permits from ITD. There are certain signage requirements from ITD, signage requirements from the Montana Department of Transportation. We work with the city on the permitting process to be able to start and end down at City Beach Park. So it's quite an effort to go on. There's a group of about six or seven Rotarians that really head up the effort throughout the year, and then there are committees and people underneath each of those committee chairs.
Hmm. Last year was a particular challenge, wasn't it, with the fires and the smoke and the heat?
No, because it was mid-June last year, and that actually had not started until later.
Okay. I mean, I'm confusing it with some other...
That was the ride across Idaho. Yeah. They ended up in town. They were at City Beach camping.
Right.
And I think they ended their ride a day early because of the smoke. Okay. But we were fine. It was a beautiful, clear day.
Good.
I rode the 30-mile route. It was my first time riding. And the great thing about it is we have so much SAG, which stands for support and gear. There's so many support people along the route. You never feel alone out there. So the 30-mile route goes to the Pack River store. Stopped. There were ditty bars from Dubs and fruit and vegetables, and had lots to eat. And then just a nice leisurely ride back. But it was great doing it with a group. It really was a lot of fun.
I always joke that you can ride the 150 miles, which will probably burn somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 calories.
Wow.
And you could still gain weight on our ride. Each of the rest stops that are manned by the different organizations try and outdo each other in terms of the type of food and the theme that they have and how engaging they are with the riders. So it's really a ton of fun.
Neat. I noticed on your literature you provided us with, it says set up your fundraiser page on chafe150.org. Who would be doing that? Who would want to be doing that?
Okay, so if you ride... Mm-hmm. We request that you raise $50.
Okay.
Easy to do. Family and friends, get them started on supporting you and the ride and supporting the effort. So right on chafe150.org, there's a donate now button to set up your fundraiser page. It walks you through it. And then you can link it to your Facebook account or your LinkedIn and email your friends and let them know that you're doing this amazing ride to raise money for children. And so they can just go right online and donate to you. So we make it easy. If you just go to the website, you'll see great videos of the ride as well. So you'll know what you're going to be seeing on the ride and what it looks like. There's maps that show the elevation. There's FAQs. Everything you need to know about doing this ride is on the website.
And who did those videos for you?
Scott Rulander and his team did the videos. They're fabulous. He even used drones to get great shots of the waterfront and going over the bridges. It's really, really great to see.
Do they ever show those on Ski Flakes, or do you know? Are you proprietary
on those?
Not yet.
They will be showing them on Northland Cable.
Uh-huh. Cool.
We had the videos constantly running this past weekend at the Seattle Bike Show, which is one of the biggest bike shows in the country. And probably 5,000 to 10,000 people had an opportunity to view the videos. So we do get a lot of out of the area riders. So this is a big economic benefit for Sandpoint as well, because it's happening before the tourist season really kicks into high gear on June 18th. So, and the other good thing about the setting up your fundraising page is there are prizes. So if you raise $4,000, you get a free bike.
Wow.
And that bike is valued at $1,500. You also get a really neat fundraising jersey and a registration for next year's ride. And we have had people that have raised that level of donations. Goes down from there, but you can get a cycling computer, heart rate monitor, helmet, various other things.
Nice. Mm. Nice.
So who should be participating? Like, let's say I'm a potential rider, which I think I maybe am, but What should I be doing maybe now? Should I be practicing? How many miles should I ride? I mean, I've never done I have ridden long distances before by myself, but I've never done this kind of in a race or in a group kind of thing. Do I need to be experienced with this? Or,
well, if you're first of all, anyone could do the ride. So if you're planning on doing it, you might decide which level. Are you going to do the 30, the 80, and the 150? Last year, our youngest rider, I believe, was 6.
Whoa.
And we've had riders in their 70s and possibly 80s do the ride. The 150 obviously is, it's a lot of miles. It's not as challenging as one would think because we're pretty much following the river valley and the valley mountains. There's only a couple of major climbs, and they're really not that bad. They're coming out of Bonner's Ferry and out of Troy. For the 150, you probably should train, and I would start training now, although a couple of years ago we had a gentleman that had never ridden more than 25 miles ever in his life, and he got in a dare with another person, and they ended up raising a couple thousand dollars for the ride, and he was able to do the ride. In terms of the 30-mile ride, the 30-mile ride is not that bad, but I tell everybody if you're going to ride it, you know, the 150, you should probably have ridden at least 100 miles one time and then build up to training for riding 100 miles. If you're doing the 80, ride, see if you can go out and ride 80 miles. If you're doing the 30, do the 30. In the training, you don't have to ride that every time. You can start at 5 miles and build up from there. You can start at 40 miles for the 100 and build up from there. But it all depends. One of our sponsors, the Sandpoint West Athletic Club, offers a lot of spinning classes. And right now, there are a lot of people that are going through spinning class that are planning on riding because it's really not that conducive to ride outside yet.
Yeah.
Anybody can do the ride. I've done the ride when I've been in peak cycling condition, and I've done the ride when I registered the day before and hadn't rid for 6 months, and it just took me 12 hours to do the ride.
I see.
So ride at your pace.
You can do this, Jack. You can do it.
I should think about it anyway. Yeah, maybe not the 150.
Sign him up later today.
So speaking of signing up, are there costs associated with registering?
Yes, the 150 and the 80-mile rides are $75, and that includes breakfast and your break stops and the after-ride party. And then we're asking $50 in donations. The 30-mile ride is only $45, and then raise your $50 in donations. You get a continental breakfast and your break stop, which has all the snacks and beverages, and the after-ride party barbecue, which is fabulous.
And I note in here, in the past 3 years, and this is phenomenal, the ride has raised over $110,000. And, of course, that money is going towards children in the Lake Pendre School District with special needs related to autism or on the spectrum somehow. So that's phenomenal.
It's a significant amount of money this community has raised in only 3 years. It's amazing. And this $110,000 that goes to the school district, they are creating special programs, not just for the children, but also for the community and caregivers and other teachers. And the fact that this money is going into the special needs, the special education department, also frees up money for the rest of the school district that doesn't have to get funneled there. So it's helping all of the children in the school district.
Yeah, that's just terrific. Really
terrific. And, you know, autism is a spectrum disease, so it's a wide spectrum. It affects 1 in 68 children in the U.S. and 1 in 42 boys. So there are a number of children locally here that are dealing, and families that are dealing with autism. There's no known cause and no known cure. And so it's important that it's worked on early and in the schools, and that those children have an opportunity to be in class like everybody else.
Right.
You know, the community has been just fantastic. We have almost 70 sponsors. Last year we had right at 70 sponsors. I'd like to give a shout out, if I may, to our large sponsors. We have a gold level sponsorship, which is $2,500 of cash or in-kind services, and we have 12 of those. North Idaho Flood and Fire, Trinity at City Beach, Bonner General Health, Bonner County Daily Bee, Greasy Fingers, Lone Tree Creative, Sandpoint Living Local, KPND, Pierce Auto Center, Parker Subaru, Northland Cable, Kachava, and Like Media. And we also have 17 sponsors that have donated $1,000 or more of cash or in-kind services. So when you think about that, 70 plus businesses here in Sandpoint, it's almost community wide. You know, it's just tremendous. Last year we were able to donate over $50,000 to the school, and we're hoping to be able to do that again this year.
Well, it is, as you said, it is an event, and it does, in addition to all the help it brings to the school, the schools, the school district, and the kids, it does bring business to town. It brings people from out of town. It's a really fun event. I mean, something that people really look forward to.
It's great. Last year on Monday before the ride on Saturday, I heard people talking and they were getting ice cream on the street and strolling around. And they said, yeah, we're here for the bike ride. Mm. And they made it a week to come and visit Sandpoint. We have riders from Maine, Florida, Texas, Colorado, Arizona, California, of course, Washington and Oregon. It's great. You know, a lot of these riders are never going to interact or meet the children that they're helping here in our community. And we've had riders from out of state who have raised several thousand dollars on their own through their Facebook page and friends and their donation page to help our children. It's really just wonderful.
Wow. Speaking, so people come from all over the place. Is this, it started out 9 years ago. I'm imagining it was smaller. Has it been growing every year, or, and have you reached a good place, or do you see it just getting bigger and bigger in the future?
Yeah, I think the first year of the ride had roughly 70, 75 riders, and it was only a 150-mile route at that point in time, which kind of limited the number of people that would actually think about doing the ride. The last several years, we've been in that 300 to 350 range, which is a good place for us. We'd probably cap it at around 500.
I see. Okay. So, but we have not reached that yet.
There's we have not reached that. So there's no limit on the number of riders at this point.
Okay. Is it still a good idea to sign up early?
It's a great idea to sign up early. I think, did they miss the early sign up date?
Yeah, that ended.
There was a discount if you signed up early, but you can still get in.
Yeah. And the and registration is open now.
It is.
Yeah.
Go to chafe150.org. You can sign up in a matter of minutes.
Mm-hmm. So in talking about people coming in and making this perhaps part of a vacation, or at least being here a little bit longer because they're out-of-towners, do you have numbers on that? I mean, how many, say, in last year were non-Monterey County residents? Or do we know that?
I would guess that that number is in the 40 to 50% range from outside of the Sandpoint area. For example, we had roughly 30 riders from the Seattle area last year. And that's not just 30 people. Most people, when they come, they're going to come with their family, spouse or significant others. Uh-huh. So you're bringing, you know, in the Seattle area, we may have had 75 different people come into Sandpoint.
Wow.
But Seattle is a great destination for us from Sandpoint here. So that's just one example.
Yeah. Was that part of your reason for being at the bike show?
That is part of our reason for being at the bike show. Uh-huh. We've been promoting this ride for probably 7 or 8 years at that bike show.
Cool.
And, you know, it's a cumulative thing. It builds up. People find out about you. And we also promote Sandpoint when we go there. So we take a lot of the chamber material and Sandpoint magazine and things like that.
Nice, nice. Well, Alina, I'm assuming this is your work, the brochure.
Yes.
And the website, I know the website is.
Right.
And I know your good work because of the work you did for the city on the branding project. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, very, very nice. Very, very beautiful.
We have Jason Dukow takes the photographs of the ride every year. So riders can go online and get their individual pictures and get group shots. And
And Jason's one of your silver sponsors.
And he does this for us. And
Is he a local boy?
He is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Where do you pick up this lovely brochure, by the way? It is a great looking piece of work here. Yeah.
Thanks. We had a good looking rider to put on the cover this year, too. we're trying to get the posters up all around town, and the brochures are in Outdoor Experience and the bike shops and pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Let's. I think we need to take a short break because it is now 8:23, a little musical break. Later on in the program, we might have friend of the show, Cameron Rasmussen, might be dropping by to talk about the upcoming Reader Reels film series. But right now, we will be back with Ilana Westfall and Mel Dick for more conversation about the Chafe 150. And it was on this date in 1979 that Gloria Gaynor had her big hit on the Hot 100. Does anyone in this room know what I'm talking about?
I Will Survive.
That's correct. Excellent. Excellent. This is I Will Survive. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That's Gloria Gaynor. I Will Survive. I don't know that much about Gloria, but that's the only, as far as I know, she was kind of a one-hit wonder. Maybe, Ilana, it sounds like you might know a little more about that.
No, was just my anthem. Okay. I don't know anything else about her.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with her work. That's the one I know. Anyway, that was at number one on this date in 1979. For 3 weeks, starting today.
Seems like yesterday.
So we are talking to Ilana Westfall and Mel Dick, and we are talking about the Chafe 150 registration is now open. And I think we were just during our musical break there, we were talking about all the great benefit that the Chafe 150 has had for kids in the area and for the school district. Do we know how much money overall over the 9 years has been raised? Or just what was raised? What's average year?
The first several years of the ride, I would say we raised about netted about $25,000. Since Rotary has taken over the ride and we've gotten more sponsors involved with the ride, we were at over $110,000 for the first 3 years that Rotary put the ride on, with $50,000 being from last year. So the ride has steadily grown. So if it's 8 years, probably about $250,000 in total has been raised that's gone into the education system.
Wow. That's enormous. I can't think of anything, any other comparable event, at least for the school district. But that's just me. I don't know. I could be wrong. There's all sorts of wonderful people out there, and wonderful events in town. Anyway, let's.
One of my friends and former colleague when I was at the city, Kim Woodruff, as you know, is an athletic exercising addict, and he loves the Chafe, and he does that with regularity. And, he's the kind of local person that just eats up that kind of thing, because town is a sporty town. I mean, let's face it, lots of people are into outdoor activities. And I know he's a regular on your circuit. So, and also hats off to Rotary. Rotary is a phenomenal organization. Yes. That is always looking for ways to do good, and not just sponsoring, but getting in and doing the work that's needed to make those events successful. And so I just wanted to say hats off to Rotary.
Thank you.
This is the 50th year that Sandpoint has had a Rotary Club. So we might want to ask if we could come back and talk to you about our big 50th anniversary celebration we're having in May. So something to think about for the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk about that. But, off after the show. We should. Are you? Our Rotary Club, 50 years. Are you both Rotarians?
Yes, we are.
Yes,
we
are.
Is this the main Rotary event here in town?
This is our major fundraising event.
Yeah.
One of the things that Rotary does, and it's education related, but we're probably one of the largest organizations in the United States in terms of post-secondary scholarships for students, both for education and technical kind of degrees. So we do a lot of scholarships through our local club, and Rotary is nationwide.
Our club has raised over over $260,000 in scholarships to local students. That's a significant amount of scholarships.
Yeah. Definitely.
The club is very active, very strong. It's really a wonderful organization.
Mm-hmm. I've had occasion to go there and speak or to visit, and it's really a fun group of people, too.
It is. You know, we were talking at the break about the rest stops and the community organizations. So I might comment on those. The ride, as I mentioned before, you could actually gain weight on this ride. It starts out with a fantastic breakfast down at City Beach Park. The first rest stop is up in Bonner's Ferry, that has in the past has been staffed by the Lake Pendere School District, teachers and administrators and folks involved with the school district. There's a small rest stop at Moy Springs, and the school district has helped out with that. Angels Over Sandpoint puts on a fabulous spread in Troy, which is the lunch stop for the 150-mile riders and kind of the beginning point for the half-chafe or 80-mile riders. Rotary itself does the rest stop at the Bull River rest stop, and that's been a great fun ride stop for everybody. Then in Clark Fork, Laughing Dog Brewery, which is also a sponsor, they put on a great stop there. I think who won the last year? I think they won the top award.
Were they the ones with the bacon station?
The bacon station was the school district.
Yummy.
Some of the teachers did that. And then the Presbyterian Church does the rest stop out at the Pack River store. And then the riders end up here in Sandpoint with a big after ride party as well. So the organizations have been wonderful. Over the years, there have been a number of different organizations involved, but the Angels have been particularly good, the school district with the teachers, and then Sandpoint West Athletic Club, the church, and Laughing Dog.
Why don't we just name all the sponsors again? Because we went over the gold sponsors: North Idaho Flood and Fire, Trinity at City Beach, Bonner General Health, Bonner County Daily Bee, Greasy Fingers, Lone Tree Creative, Sandpoint Living Local Magazine, KPND, Pierce Auto Center, Parker Subaru, Northland Cable, Cochava, and Like Media. But we have a number of silver sponsors too, which were 1,000 plus.
Right. And the great thing is, I mean, mentioned too, name the silver sponsors, but because of the generosity of our sponsors, when you ride, you not only get all of the rest stops, you also get a custom ride t-shirt, which is gorgeous. You get an engraved chafe pint glass. And you get two drinks at the after ride party that's catered by Trinity at City Beach. So some of our silver sponsors are Evans Brothers, Summit Insurance, Williams & Parsons, Boyle Platt & Key, the 219 Lounge, Evergreen Realty, D.A. Davidson, Sandpoint West Athletic Club, Arby's, Lighthouse Foods, Quest, Laughing Dog Brewing, Washington Trust, Torque Electric, Jason Ducal Photography, Pendere Winery, and Taylor & Sons Chevrolet. Think I got everybody?
Did you mention Quest?
I did mention Quest. Mm-hmm. They're a new sponsor this year, too.
They are.
I'm so glad they joined us.
That's a who's who of businesses in town. I see a lot of crossover. We've got some underwriters for the radio station that are also on the Chafe 150.
Well, once again, it's a lot of people. An example of Sandpoint's generosity.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just, it's, you just don't see that in the rest of the world, quite frankly. So.
It's amazing. It's one of the reasons, quite frankly, we live here. It's such a community, and it's so connected.
Right. I'm passionate about this cause, so I'm excited to be able to be part of it. But when I walk into a business and I have the posters and the brochures, I mean, the first thing they say is, what can we do to help? And that is why we live here. Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful place to be. Mm-hmm. Everybody helps each other.
Yeah,
really
sure.
is great.
For
yeah.
Sure.
If you are interested in helping out, but let's say you're not much of a bike rider, are there any opportunities to volunteer to pitch in at all?
Sure. Go on the website. There's actually a contact form that you can fill out if you want to volunteer. And also, if you're not going to bike ride, find somebody who is. Support them. Sponsor them by the mile or $10 or $15, whatever you can do, but sponsor a bike rider too.
And that website again is chafe150.org.
.org. chafe150.org.
And the ride is on June 18th. The ride is always the third Saturday in June. And June 18th.
Have you, this just occurred to me, have you had luck with the weather over the past 9 years?
We have. There is only one year that we did not have the best weather, and it depended on what time and what part of the race you or ride you were really in. It rained a lot. That, I think, was 3 or 4 years ago. But the last several years, we've had just gorgeous, sunny, great weather. And typically, we've had good weather. I think 8 out of 9 years, we've had great weather.
It's going to be great this year.
And there's some pre-race events, too.
Yeah, we have happy hours, which is a great place to come and meet other riders. If you want to meet somebody that's going to ride that you can learn how to train with, we're doing them early enough that you can hook up with other people and get to learn a little bit more about the ride and just come and support the Chafe effort and meet the team. So the Chafe happy hours here in town are Wednesday, April 13th, 5:30 to 7 at the Idaho Poor Authority, one of our sponsors as well, and Thursday, May 12th at the McDuff's Beer Hall. We're going to have beer specials, music, some food, and we always have lots of giveaways, lots of Chafe and bike merchandise and raffles. It's a lot of fun.
You can do bike trivia. Ooh, I love trivia.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And Jack, we can get you a jersey if you come to one of these happy hours.
Oh, boy.
Then you'll be all ready to ride.
Yeah. Yes. Then I will be all ready to ride, except for, maybe 30 or 40 pounds ago, I would be all ready to ride. I feel like I'm a little...
It's the start of your new plan.
Yeah. Maybe this is what I need. This is just the
your
ticket.
Motivation.
Uh-huh.
Yep. You can do the 30.
Yeah.
You can do it.
I think I can do the 30. You're right. I think that's within my... I seem to do a 30-mile bike ride on accident every year by just going... Yeah, I don't realize how far away a certain location is, and then I forget to get a ride back, and turns into a 30-mile ride. So maybe I'll do one on purpose. That sounds like fun.
It was so much fun taking off with the group and going through town, going down First Avenue behind the police car and the Subaru. And it was just a lot of fun to be part of an organized ride. You'll love it.
Yeah, it does sound like fun. And I love riding my bike. I rode down this morning. Usually that's my main mode of transportation in the summer. But I've never really done anything organized. It's just... You know.
If you're commuting to work, you'll be able to do the 30 ride.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Tell me again the events coming up, the dates at the beer hall and whatnot. And because there's no office in town, is there? If somebody wanted to come down and look for information,
No. Yeah. But come to the happy hours. Wednesday, April 13th, 5:30 to 7 at the Idaho Poor Authority. And then Thursday, May 12th at McDuff's Beer Hall. We'll have everything you need to know.
And are those posted on the website also?
We post them on our Facebook page.
On Facebook page.
We'll get them out there as much as possible.
Okay.
Come over. And any questions that you have, there's going to be plenty of people who have ridden the ride and can answer that. And there'll be lots of support and fun and giveaways. And beer.
There you go. Well, the Chafe 150 is on June 18th, and I'm looking forward to it already. Thank you, Alana and Mel, for coming in, talking about this.
Thank you, Jack.
I think we'll probably talk again before the 18th comes around, so we'll look forward to having you.
Come in and do a little last-minute plug.
Yeah.
Right, if only to check and make sure that you've signed up.
Yes, yeah, this is where you can find me. I have a little more music lined up. It is Edie Brickell's birthday. Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians were big in 1989 with their album Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars, which was on my CD player back home in Edina, Minnesota. The hit single from that was called What I Am, and I see Cameron Rasmussen out there waiting in the wings to talk a little bit about upcoming events for this weekend. So, here's Edie Brickell. We'll be back with more of the morning show after this.
She's married to Paul Simon.
Whoa! We're back. You're listening to the morning show on 88.5 KRFY. Jack and Carrie in the studio this morning, and we have exchanged guests Mel and Ilana are out. Cameron is in, and we are talking now about, it's called Anomalisa.
Anomalisa, yeah. That's correct. And it's the first film in the Reader Reels film series that we are putting on together with the Panada Theater. It's a new partnership. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about that. Hopefully people will find it to be as fun as we're hoping it'll be.
So what is the Reader Reels film series? This is brand new, as you said. This is the first film. What's the idea there?
Yeah, so Patricia Walker over at the Panada Theater came to us, and she was saying how, well, there are these movies that she wants to bring in, you know, really interesting artistic movies, usually indie-type movies that have a sort of a different sensibility from the types of films that usually come to the Panada Theater. And the only problem was is that, you know, these are types of films that usually don't come to the Panada Theater. They're just a little too off the beaten path, or maybe wouldn't quite appeal to that sort of audience, or it just, they don't quite fit into the regular roster. And so she was hoping that by partnering up with The Reader, which I imagine carries this sort of a similar vibe in the community, a sort of an alternative vibe, that would sort of set the right tone for the series. And so we were really excited about that. You know, Ben and I love movies. I've been a bit of a cinephile my entire life. So any chance that I have to get involved in something like that, I think it's really exciting. So the first movie that we're bringing in is called Anomalisa. And it's written and directed by Charlie Kaufman, who many people probably know for his work on movies like Being John Malkovich, Adaptation, Eternal Sunshine, On the Spotless Mind, and a number of other really great movies. So I'm definitely a fan of his work, and I am very excited to see this here in Sandpoint.
Yeah. He's different. I mean, one of the more unique voices, I think, in American cinema that's still working right now.
Yeah, he's got a really interesting style of writing kind of bizarre comedies with a really unusual twist, you know, a portal into the brain of John Malkovich, or, Eternal Sunshine's got the whole... erasing memories sort of concept. But then he uses those concepts to get into some really kind of profound ideas just about, you know, humanity and usually puts together some very, you know, affecting movies with a lot of really funny parts, but they're always a very memorable experience. So I'm very excited to see this new one.
So is the expectation that there will be a different kind of audience coming to these? And what time of night and day of the week are you going to be offering this?
Yes, so that's definitely the goal that we're working toward. The Reader Reels series is designed to be definitely more of an adult crowd. Not that the Panada Theater hasn't shown, you know, adult movies in their regular times, but this is, you know, the sort of environment that, you know, people can come, they can pick up beer and wine, you know, that'll all be for sale through the Panada, and they can, you know, come and enjoy a movie that's definitely geared toward their interests. And so, movies are going to be kind of rolling out as we get them. So we don't have like a consistent day of the week necessarily that they're going to be all the time. But for this first installment, it is going to be taking place 10 p.m. This Saturday, March 12th. And so I think that is the goal, is to, you know, go for that 10 o'clock time slot. And that kind of brings in the right, you know, the right type of audience that we're looking for.
So you might have people downtown doing, you know, dinner or just going out partying or something and decide they want to catch a movie. Well, they're not going to want to go to the 7 o'clock showing of the
Exactly.
Right? So
yeah.
10 o'clock maybe sounds more intriguing and interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've got a group of people, they're going to be heading downtown for the night, making a night of it, but they want to at least shake up, you know, their experience between pubs or, you know, heading to the 219 or whatnot, they can come, you know, to the Panetta Theater and see a really interesting, unique movie and, you know, still have a couple of drinks while they're there and, you know, not miss a beat. So,
so what's the storyline on this Anomalisa?
So Anomalisa, it's a really interesting movie. It was, it kind of got its start on Kickstarter. It was crowdfunded and it's a claymation film. And it's got a really unique visual style to it. But it's, you know, a very adult story about a self-help author who's kind of going through this sort of malaise. You know, he's completely disaffected, dissatisfied with life, starts to kind of perceive everyone that he meets as the same sort of nondescript person. And then while he is at a hotel on his travels, he meets a woman that is, you know, suddenly unique compared to all of the same, you know, sorts of faces that he's been seeing up until now. And it, you know, kind of gets into an exploration of identity and just, you know, these sort of midlife crises and whatnot, and deals with them in a very funny but kind of affecting way, too, you know, very emotionally compelling way. And so it's, you know, just received a ton of acclaim. It's right on the heels of an Oscar nomination for Best Animated Picture. So it's still got a lot of buzz rolling its way, and we're hoping that people have been paying attention to that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoy claymation.
Yeah, it's an underutilized form totally these days. Cool. Huh?
I was never a fan of animation, you know, as a kid growing up, and I think it was, I don't know, one of the chicken movies.
Chicken Run. Yeah.
That just cracked me up.
Yeah. So I've always been a fan of animation of all kinds, and I do a little bit of artwork myself, so I really appreciate just the hard work and sophistication that goes into putting a movie like that together. And claymation is no exception. It's just an amazing achievement.
And they actually do little clay figures and have to do every change for every scene.
That's right.
Scene
so and, every wow. every the slightest movement needs to have a new picture taken, and it's just an extremely time consuming and exhausting process. So it's definitely a medium that requires a lot of effort, but if you take a look at the Anomalisa trailer, I think you can see it paid off because it's such a striking movie from a visual perspective.
Very cool.
Yeah.
This is, as we said, the first in a what should be a series, the Rita Reels film series. Do you know roughly how often you're going to be showing movies? And I don't know.
Well, yeah. We don't have a timeline set in stone as yet, but I believe that we are aiming for the next movie to come around in April. So if we can keep up with that sort of schedule, you could probably look at it as a once a month type deal.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of other movies that we're interested in bringing to town. And, you know, we're always looking for those movies that are just kind of offbeat or alternative. They're maybe a little weird, maybe a little funny. And we've got ideas for just kind of fun film events that we can do, too, that, you know, you can come to and expect to have plenty of laughs and have a really fun time with it.
Well, first of all, I should say, or not first of all, second of all, third of all, last of all, we should mention that Cameron is the editor of the Sandpoint Reader, so that is how you're connected to it. But do you just say, this is a movie we want to see, and then the Panetta acquires it, or do you have to do the legwork on it?
Well, we definitely count on Patricia Walker over at the Panetta Theater. We definitely count on her expertise and her experience in working with distributors to bring movies in here. So it's very much a collaborative thing. For instance, she came up with the ideas for the first couple of movies, and we contributed a couple of ideas of our own that we want to see if we can bring to town. There's a certain Sundance movie, a certain movie that premiered at Sundance, for instance, that I'm really keen on acquiring, but we'll just see if that's possible. We'll just see if that's going to be in the cards for us. But in any case, Trish over at the Panetta Theater definitely knows how to, you know, kind of keep the wheels in motion when it comes to working with distributors. And this was her idea to begin with, and we're really excited that we can be a part of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So it was her idea. It was not, I mean, she approached you. It was
she approached us with this idea, and we, personally, this is something that I've always wanted to do. So I was thrilled when, you know, the opportunity just kind of fell in our laps.
Yeah, this sounds like, I mean, this does sound like a great opportunity. It sounds like a ton of fun to just kind of pick movies. And I'm very glad that it's there. Because even, I mean, the Panetta, as you said, does a great job, but they can't do everything all by themselves, I guess. There's a lot of movies that seems like we don't get at the Bonner Mall and they don't get here. And then if you don't get it there.
And yeah. I think with these types of movies, it's important to set the right expectations. And that's kind of what the reader helps do is, you know, with our name on it, people recognize, oh, this is going to be a little bit off the beaten path. This is going to be a little bit different. We're kind of happy that we get to stand up for those oddball movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So that is, the first one is this Saturday at 10 o'clock, right?
This Saturday, March 12th, 10 p.m.
Okay. And that is the signal that our show is over. So thank you, Cameron, for coming down. You guys are going to have to go to Sandpoint Online for our events calendar. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Thanks to Cameron. Thanks to my special guest co-host, Carrie Logan. And thanks again to Mel and Ilana for coming in earlier today. You're listening to Panhandle Community Radio, 88.5 KRFY.